Proverbs chapter number 1, verses 7 through 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. We used this passage last month when we were speaking on the subject of motherhood. And while I was preparing for that, I made the decision to use the same text to address our fathers in a special way this morning. The great pattern and example that we have as fathers has been well stressed already this morning. We look to our Father above to learn much about fatherhood in this life. There are certain things that God has done as our Father that we follow his example. Our Father definitely is committed to instructing us, and we need to be committed to the instructing of our children. And so that would be the primary theme this morning, as it's found in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. A few opening remarks before we look at it. The process of raising children who are committed to do the right thing, to live the right kind of life, depends on a number of different factors. For example, the practical means that God has chosen for children to be raised and committed to live the right way, the practical means that God has chosen is that parents themselves will be hearers and doers of God's word. It's very difficult to get the desired result with children if parents are not leading by example. You may be able to deceive them when they're young, but the evidence of your deception will eventually play out in their life. And so raising godly children requires parents who themselves are devoted to being both hearers and doers of the instruction that God has given to them. Another factor is we as parents are aware that apart from grace working in our children, our efforts will fall short. By faith, we parent our children, and by faith, we trust in God. No matter how difficult it is and how often disappointing it might be, we must remain faithful to do our part, even though we know that without grace, it will fall short. And it leaves us as parents, on the one hand, very resolved to be faithful to our task, and yet on the other hand, very aware that unless God intervenes, it's not going to work well. And so we cry out to him as parents, seeking his aid in our mission. Another factor is the child himself. Every child must learn that they are responsible for their own choices and the consequences that come with their choices. Being obedient is a good choice with good consequences. Being stubborn or rebellious is a bad choice with unpleasant consequences. So children need to learn that they themselves are responsible for the consequences of the choices they make. And these are factors that have a tremendous impact on our success as parents in raising godly children. In our context of where we find verse 8 in Proverbs chapter 1 is about an older child who is approaching their youthful years of life. And both parents are to instruct and to train their children from an early age to be hearers and doers of the things that they are being taught. Hearing ears are developed early in a child's life. They learn to recognize that when the parent says no, there is going to be and ought to be an immediate consequence. Hearing and learning to do the right thing starts at a very early stage of life. Hearing and obeying are essential qualities that parents put into their children, to some degree, more or less. And so in this context that we have here, the father is confident as he speaks that both parents have done their job, and he is appealing to this youthful young man, it appears in our text, a son, to continue. They've reached a stage of life where other voices are now beginning to be heard. And the father is appealing to that child to continue to hear the instruction of thy father and make sure you forsake not your mother's law. Remember, he is telling this child, she helped you to work out the instruction, to help you regulate, to manage your life. That's the law of the mother, which we spoke on last month. The Hebrew word that is here in our text in verse 8, my son, hear, is a verb. It is an exhortation to obey. So built into this here is the implied obey. Here. And he knows what the father is saying. Here. And it's to the child is to obey what we find in our text, the instruction that he is receiving. Obviously, this appeal to the child, this youthful child, is meaningless if the child has not been trained to hear and obey up to that point. So they don't suddenly come to this youthful stage and suddenly pay attention. If they have not been taught to hear and obey up to that point, it's probably not going to be very successful after they reach those years. But in our text, it's assumed that mom and dad have done their job. And so the appeal is being made to hear, continue to hear and obey what I am teaching you, son. And by the way, don't forget the law of your mother that has been applied to your life to teach you how to regulate and manage your life as a child. So those things are implied as they have been given to this child. As parents, we know that we cannot give our children ears that will hear. God speak to them. But that doesn't change the duty of the parent to give them ears to hear the instruction that you are meant to give them. Because we don't know what God's intentions are. So we have to go at it with full obedience as the children of God to instruct our children according to the way that he has prescribed. And so in our text here, the child is being appealed to. Keep hearing the instruction of your father and keep remembering the law of your mother. These two phrases are really wonderful phrases. They summarize the parental duties. There are a lot of different nuances that you can add, you know, to these two phrases that are found in Proverbs, but these summarize the duties of mom and the duties of a father to their children. The book of Proverbs, as a whole, provides parents with a manual for what we must instill into our children's mind and heart, and how we go about training them. There is no other book in the Bible that contains all of this information. It is crucial. You've heard it emphasized a little already, but it is crucial that parents are very, very familiar with the book of Proverbs if they are going to be effective. You won't find a New Testament book written on the subject. There's no other real book in the Bible written on the subject of a manual for training children. Proverbs is your manual. And so it's very important to be familiar with it. And so it reduces all of its content down to these two phrases. Fathers, instruct. Mothers, regulate. That's a little disciplinary things going on in their life as they teach them how to manage the law of the mother. That goes on all day long. The Hebrew word that is used here for instruction is also instructive. Instruction shows up in the book of Proverbs. This particular Hebrew word shows up in Proverbs more than all the rest of the Old Testament combined. It's a theme when we are dealing with family life. Instruction is a theme. And the father takes on the primary burden of making sure that gets done. That's his oversight. That's his job, is to make sure instruction is being carried out in the home from himself personally, as well as making sure that all of it is being done as parents together. In verse 8, where we have here, this word is attached to the overall job description of the father. When you read this word, this appeal of the father to the son to continue to hear his instruction, this pretty well defines the function of the father, right? I mean, when you hear this phrase, we know this is who the father is to his child. What is the father to him? He's their instructor. That's the primary duty of a father to his child. Whatever else this word means, it means that that is your primary duty. You are your children's instructor. And the word tells us what he does in the child's life. He instructs them. So what is the main idea then? When you hear this word, fathers, when you hear this word instruction, and you know that it is a summary word that sort of embodies all of your duties to your children, what does that word contain? Several things that are folded into this word that I want to just remind you of to help you as you carry out your mission in your home. The main idea in the word instruction is discipline. But it may not be exactly what you think. The primary idea is discipline. But several things are implied here in this. First, the father is teaching his children the disciplines of life. Not just disciplining the child in a sense of corporal punishment of some sort, but he is also teaching his child, instructing him about the disciplines of life. It embodies life, how to live life, how to be effective in his life, how to be a man in this world concerning his life. It also denotes the idea of how to be a disciple. And so a disciple is someone who follows the teacher. And so in a sense, the father is the master teacher to a certain level, and he's training his children to be disciples who follow his instruction. And in that instruction, he is teaching them all of the important things they need to know about life. That's an instructor. Fathers make disciples. Whether you like it or not, they're going to follow you. And the challenge is they tend to pick up on our weaknesses because of their own fallen nature a lot quicker than they might pick up on our virtue. But make no mistake, your children will follow you. And that's meant to be the way it works. God intended it that way. That your children would follow you. That they would be discipled by you. That you would be their instructor. That they would seek to emulate. They take on your views of things. Your philosophy. Your things that you like and don't like. You don't have to be around a family too long to know and talk to children and know what dad and mom think. Right? It kind of spills out in the children. You get a sense of it. They may have certain prejudices. Doesn't take long. Children pick up those prejudices. They may have things they just don't like or they do like. It doesn't take long. Children form a similar opinion. Well, that's by design. God intended it to work that way. That's not a bad thing. It's meant to be a good thing. You are the instructor. And children learn to follow you first. And that's good because your goal is that your children would eventually follow your instructor. And your instructor is God the Father. And so it's good that they want to imitate you. They want to be your disciple. They want to follow you in your teaching. That's sort of all folded here in this word instruction that has been going on in a child's life. So the father, we sort of are in, we are training our children in the elementary school of life, so that they are ready to live life as those who hear and obey the great master teacher, God himself. So all of this is preparatory. The instruction of a father is equipping and preparing his children to hear and obey when he leaves home. Not just when he's under your watchful eye. But these things have become real to him. They are a part of him and her. And so when they leave home, they are carrying on that same commitment. And it's being transferred now as the father has taught, instructed his children the things of God. When that child leaves home, they are now considering themselves to be the disciples of the great master teacher himself. All of that is by design. And the one who oversees that process is the father, to make sure that that is getting done and it's getting done properly. And so as fathers, we need to examine and re-examine our oversight of our children's training. And the key things that you're looking for that will kind of, as you read Proverbs, it sort of stands out on the pages. One of those things that you look for in your children is their respect for authority. That's critical. If they don't respect you, they're not going to respect God. If when you speak, they don't listen, when God speaks, they won't listen. Or when you speak, they decide they don't need to obey right now. They'll obey later. You're training them to react to God the same way. And so one of the things that you look for as a father who is instructing his children is their respect for authority. You know what kind of job you're doing when they regard your authority. And that's a critical thing. Because if they can ignore you, then they will eventually ignore God. If there's one horrible, horrible condition in our day, it's this lack of respect for authority. But that didn't happen in the streets of Portland. It happened in the homes of Portland. It happened in the homes of these cities where children have grown up into young adults or older adults and they have no regard for authority. Why did they reach that condition? You just trace it back. It's the home. And so it is important that fathers are evaluating their children's response to authority. That's a key test to their hearing and obeying. Another is hearing requires an immediate response. God doesn't teach us that our obedience is to be delayed. We struggle with being obedient when God tells us what we must do. But you don't want to be raising your children, fathers, this is not instructing them, if you train them to delay obedience. How's that going to work for them when they leave your home, get out into the real world, and most importantly, begin to deal with God one-on-one? We've all been in Walmart or wherever we've been, observing children in public, making their parents look very weak and foolish, defying their authority. Meaningless threats are shouted out, and the child has no respect or fear for the consequences. That's a problem with the father. It is the father's responsibility to make sure that their children are being prepared to serve the Lord, to respect the Lord, to be obedient, first time obedient children to the Lord. I'm sort of kind of unpacking a little bit this idea of instruction here. It's really filled with a lot of information that has been given to the father. I mentioned a few moments ago the word instruction is a key word in the book of Proverbs. I want to just kind of browse through, not all of the references, but a few of them, just to see all of the truth that is wrapped around this when Solomon is using this word in his in this book. Look at chapter 4. And again, we'll select some. There are many here, but a few that I think are worth looking at. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Here again, we have the same appeal. Here, same word. This is a verb, and it means and it implies that hearing for the purpose of obeying. And so the appeal is made. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. When does that start? I mean, when do you begin to provide the necessary information for your children about why, understanding, explaining, helping them to attain unto understanding. It's important that a child understands why they're being instructed to do this or not to do the other thing. They need to know why. Help them attain that understanding. And again, this is folded into the instruction of a father. You can't begin too soon. You may think they're not. No, you can't begin too soon. To begin to help them understand, helping them to attain, to know why it is these things must be heard and obeyed. What's the value of it, Dad? Why? So the father is instructing, helping his children to attain unto understanding, to help him grasp the things that he is being taught to do and not to do. And look at verse 13. He says to his children, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Well, there's a lot contained in instruction to explain it that way. Right? Take hold of it. Hold on to her. She is your life. Teaching our children to recognize the value of instruction is also an important thing they must learn early. Not only to recognize it, Dad is giving instruction, but to value the instruction that Dad is giving. Why is it so valuable, son? Because in it, son, is life. The value of your life is found in what I'm sharing with you. Hold on to this. Don't let it go. It is critical for you to live well. And so a father's instruction is essential for the development of the child. But the child must not only know that the father must give it, the child must have a value placed on it. You know where that value begins? Begins with you, Dad. Do you value the instruction that you are giving to your children? How valuable is it? Can you say, like the psalm, or like Solomon said here, hold on to it. Do you believe that? Life is wrapped up in it. So take fast hold of instruction. I mean, convincing your children that your instruction is of great value is hard if it's not of great value to you. But if you understand the value of your discipling and your training and making followers, then you'll probably convey that passion to your children. Look at another one in chapter 5, in verses 11, 12, and 13, Proverbs 5. And here it's sort of kind of a warning that precedes, leads up to this. And thou mourn at the last, as the father is saying to his children. If you don't receive it, this is where it's going to head. Do you understand where this is leading? And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. And so the child is being cautioned and warned. Do you realize where your life is headed if you choose to ignore what I'm instructing you in? They need to understand it. There are consequences. And where you start to go off course just a little bit as a child being taught, that is going to get worse and worse if it's not corrected and brought back to where it needs to be. And so fathers know this. They know the dangers. They know the importance of warning their children as they teach them, instruct them, and train them, and disciple them, that there are horrible consequences, serious consequences, and that it is your love that you have for them, just as your Father in heaven has for you, that he will chasten us to drive out those things that are wrong and those tendencies and rebellions. He will chasten us to correct our ways because of love. A child should never question that your instructions and your disciplines and corrections come from any other place in your life than love. And if you in anger correct your child, you're teaching them the wrong thing. You can't do that. Love is the reason why you correct. They must be convinced of that, or the warnings won't mean much when you try to warn your child. Look at chapter 6, just a couple others. Chapter 6 and verse 20. The father again is speaking, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Commandment here is inserted in the place of instruction that we read just a moment ago in chapter 1 and verse 8. And a commandment, the mitzvah, right? I mean, this is a common word in the Old Testament. It's what is mandated. It comes from an authority. It requires conformity. I mean, there should be no doubt in the children's mind that the one who is speaking them is speaking with authority. And so the father must view his instruction as a commandment. If you don't see the value and the importance of that which you're giving in that context, then why should the child have the same view of it if it's not your view? Why would they see it as something so great and important? So the father must not minimize what he's teaching when he teaches the truth. He must see the weight of his instruction so that the child views the father's instruction as what is necessary and what ought to be obeyed. It's interesting here that this is not uncommon in the scripture, even in Proverbs. But we find here that the father makes a promise to the children and then pronounces a blessing on those who conform to it. So there is this benediction that is being given by the father upon his children. Very precious, beautiful thing. In verse 21, he says, "Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it will talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And so he's blessing his children who will respond to the instruction that is being given to them. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Yeah, a couple more. Proverbs chapter 8, in verse number 10, where again the appeal is from wisdom. Wisdom is speaking and it's appealing, as well as the father and the mother. These things are speaking to their children, and the cry is in verse 10, "Receive my instruction and not silver." Teaching a child the value of what they're hearing from you, and then comparing it to all of the pretty little nice things that they might be able to possess in this world, and to tell them, you know what? What I'm about to say to you and give to you is more precious than anything that you could own or possess. It's more precious than silver. And so receive it. There's great value, again, in what I'm saying. Look at chapter 13. Just highlighting a few. Help us to understand this word that summarizes the role of a father to his children. He is to be their instructor, their discipler. He makes disciples. In chapter 13, verse 1, he says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." And again, a wise son. And so there will come a time when your children, when they understand what wisdom is, that they would want to be wiser. Well, here's how they get wiser. Here's how they grow in wisdom. They grow as a result of a father's instruction. By hearing it and practicing the things they hear, it will make them wise. And that can be something that they should be ambitious for. Desire to be is wise in their life. Verse 18, chapter 13, he says, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." And so again, the value of instruction is it carries over into your adult life. It's going to be how your life is measured in terms of its quality and its value. And honor will belong to those who receive and respond to instruction. One more. In chapter 15, verse 32. This is pretty straightforward and blunt, but our children need to hear this. "He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul." You must not like yourself very well. You must not care a whole lot about yourself if you refuse to hear the instruction that a father is giving. And so there is danger in not hearing, as well as blessing, because he goes on to say, "But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." So there's not only the consequence of damaging your own life, but there is the blessing of growing and developing in understanding. So these are things, just a few, not all of them, that in Proverbs help a father to understand his primary duty to his family. We're not saying that a father doesn't work and take care of his family. All of those are stitched into the fabric of just human life. But when it comes to the spiritual development of our children, working 40 hours or providing well for your family may teach a work ethic, but there is something much deeper than that that we have to teach our children. And this is the instruction that God entrusts to the man, the father, that he's responsible to make sure that his children are being discipled. And that he is a pattern that they can look at and they can follow his example. Discipling and training of our children requires that we as parents first have a great value upon the things that we are passing on to them, if we ever hope that our children will value it themselves. We must see that our instruction is critical for their development and their walk with God. Our instruction shapes their mind about life. Our instruction builds a protective hedge around them and keeps them from being ensnared by the evil that surrounds them. And our children must be warned, fathers, regarding the evil tendencies of their own nature, and that there are consequences, some very severe ones, if they choose to not hear and obey the instruction, the training that they are receiving. God has provided fathers that are here this morning. We rejoice. It was mentioned earlier, I think, by Steve, that we rejoice that fathers have this support system in a church where we are here for one another to aid and help one another in this task. Men helping men to be better fathers. Fathers must do all they can to raise their children to be followers of God. And we must pray for God's help as we instruct. We pray that God's Spirit would help our children to understand and apply the things that we are teaching them. Their instruction is critical. And we must partner with our wives because their contribution is critical to the work. The job of instruction, however, is your first and greatest priority as a father. And we need to help one another and particularly pray for one another because the souls of our children are being impacted by our instruction, and the future of the church is greatly dependent upon instruction that goes on, not just from the pulpit to you, but it's got to go from you into the home personally. In your involvement with your children. There is no way for us to make wise children if we don't begin with the understanding of what our primary duty is. And that is, we are the instructors of our children's life. And I pray that God would help us as fathers to, even though we may have raised children, mine are gone, moved out. I've got grandchildren. But we still speak into the lives of our children, have opportunities to speak into the lives of our grandchildren. We never cease to be mothers and fathers. We still play a very valuable role in aiding and helping our children throughout the rest of their life. May God give us the grace and the insight to understand that function. Father, we thank you for your word and the clarity of your role as a father to us and the great example that you have set before us. We thank you for your word and how that in the book of Proverbs you have collected all of this wonderful spiritual insight that we can glean from and improve our own life as parents. And we can understand what our function is. We don't want it to be defined by the world, We want it to be defined by your word. And so I pray that we as fathers this morning have heard your word, and that we would take these things to heart and we would practice them as you have set them before us. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.